The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Ashley Kennedy. She is part of Huron County's Project Red's Planning Committee. Project Red is Rural Education Day, and something that the Farm Bureau office in Bad Axe has been sponsoring and helping to keep going for over a decade and then some. We're going to be talking about the next Project Red coming up next week. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
When is Project Red?
It is next Tuesday, and it'll start around 9 in the morning. So,
and as I understand it, a lot of the schools are going to be busing their third graders out to this event again this year.
Yep, we're expecting about 750 students, chaperones, teachers, and student volunteers from different FFAs out to help us.
And what basically started this? As I understand, Farm Bureau started this, and then you found out about it and kind of got on the bandwagon.
Yep. Michigan Farm Bureau actually hosted the first one down near Lansing where their home office is. And that was, I think it was 19 or 20 years ago, because Laura just told me that this is our 18th year. And our founders, Debbie Kabotsky and Charlene Hagen, saw it and they fell in love with the idea and they started it the very next year. And they've been doing it. You know, Debbie and Charlene are not in charge of it anymore, but they still help us with different things all the time. So they were the people that started it, and it's been going for 18 years now.
And as I understand it, one of the biggest parts of this is to let these third graders know where their food comes from, how it gets to their plate. It isn't just magically appearing at the grocery store and mom goes and picks it up.
Nope, absolutely. You know, we come from a very rural area, but even in our area, you know, there are kids that, you know, didn't grow up on farms, and they, you know, they see it, but they don't understand it, and they don't know what it is. So that's our goal. We want kids to not just think that milk or vegetables come from the grocery store. They want to know, we want them to know that, hey, that comes from a farm that looks like that. Or I met a farmer that, you know, makes my gallon of milk, and that's really neat. So.
And with specialization today, even kids who live on a farm only are maybe dealing with one or two commodities. Maybe they're raising hay and dairy cattle. And they don't know about corn, soybeans, sugar beets, all the other things that go on in this area.
Absolutely. And even with technology evolving like it is today, you know, maybe you don't have it on your farm yet, but other people do. So even for kids that come from a farm, they still learn something new at it every year.
Farmers tend to amaze me, because they're the most conservative people, but they are very, very quick to jump on new technology and get on the bandwagon that way. It just seems almost contradictory being so cautious and conservative, because it's their livelihood and their family's livelihood, but yet they see something new and they're willing to say, hey, this may be a better way.
Yep, absolutely. We're always looking for something new to be able to do our jobs better, and we're always looking to provide better for our communities, our land, and our animals. So for us, technology makes a lot of sense. It allows us to do a better job of what we've already been doing.
And third grade is a good point in a student's academic career to infuse this in. They're still sucking it all in real quick.
Yep, exactly. They're all really excited about being there, but they're old enough that we can, you know, give them concrete ideas and concepts. So yeah, third grade is really a really optimal age for them to do it.
But some districts, like the little rural schools that maybe only have 10 students, they may skip a year and bring the third and fourth graders the next year, that type of thing, because they have to make it, you know, cost effective to take the kids into town for this.
Yep, absolutely. And homeschool groups that can come and will come, you know, we'll have kids of all different ages, because, you know, it doesn't make sense to bring one or two kids and leave the other two at home. So absolutely, you know, although we gear it to third graders, we will have a little bit of an age range, just depending on whether it's, you know, one of the country schools or it's a homeschool group.
I've been there, and I've seen even the faces of the adults when they're learning something. You can just see the light go off. Oh, yeah.
Yep, we get lots of great adult and chaperone questions, too. Like, no doubt about it. Every year, we're answering questions from adults as well as the third graders. So it's an awesome learning experience, and I always hope that any parent that has kids can come at least once, because, like you said, you know, light bulbs go off, and they ask questions, and they learn something, too.
Now, you mentioned the homeschoolers. Would it be better if they let you know they're coming? Because I know you supply milk and a goodies mm-hmm. and a goodie bag for the kids, and you want to make sure nobody goes home disappointed, and you need to know how many are coming. Does that help you gauge that to make sure you've got enough?
Yep, absolutely. That does help us. If, you know, you definitely know you're coming, we totally appreciate a call into the Farm Bureau office. But if you don't know if you're coming, you know, we try to make sure we have extra of everything so that hopefully everybody can be covered. But if you can RSVP, that would be perfect.
And it's for all kids, not just kids whose parents are in Farm Bureau and such. Mm-hmm. It's for every kid yep. in the county, third grade or fourth, if they didn't mm-hmm. see it last year, who'd like to come and see what goes on at a farm, some of the aspects of it they yep. may never have imagined.
Yes, absolutely. Anybody can come.
And this is going to be starting off at the fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Do you start off at the arena building, or do you mm-hmm. park somewhere else and go to the grandstands? How do you do that?
Nope. It's at the Harrod County Fairgrounds, and they will start in the old arena. And that's where you'll actually walk into the expo center, and there will be a check-in right there. And then from there, volunteers will tell you where to go. They'll seat you where they want to seat you in a group that you'll be going around and following all the stations with. So just start at the expo center. You can park there. Your bus can drop you off there. And they actually have bus parking further back if you do bring a bus. But if you're just, you know, coming with a homeschool group or something like that, start at the expo center, and there'll be someone there to tell you what to do the whole way.
I bet you find the bus drivers go along too. They don't want mm-hmm. to sit in a warm bus and wait for the kids. They lock her up and then they go along too.
Yep, absolutely. If they don't have something else to go do, because sometimes, you know, they have a kindergarten route to do or something like that, so they'll leave and come back. But if they're there for the day, we always have the bus drivers going around too.
Okay, what kind of things are you going to have this year? Anything new?
Yeah, we have a couple of new ones that personally I'm very excited about. One of them is we have a beekeeper coming in, and they're going to talk about honey and bees and how they're important to the environment and all that kind of stuff. And if anybody's allergic to bees, it is totally safe. They will have the bees completely contained in a container where the kids can still look, but they won't actually get stung. There will be no loose bees. So
because parents worry.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's not just peanuts anymore. You can get stung by a bee and need the little EpiPen or whatever.
Yep.
To
absolutely.
Make sure there's no problem. But you're working very hard to make sure this is very
yep.
safe.
Absolutely. Activity. The beekeeper that's coming in, they have a confined space where the kids can see a honeycomb and see bees walking around in it, because it's plexiglass, but there's no way that the bees can get out. So we've been fully assured of that, because we know that that's a fear.
Because that's one of the aspects of this that you've had to deal with through the years. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with animals. Can be a little unpredictable
yep.
at times. So you got to find farmers who have animals that are used to being around
yes.
people, that are, you know, basically pets.
Yep.
They're still farm animals, but they,
yep.
they follow you around like Lassie, because
yep.
they're a pet, and they just look at people as non-threatening.
Absolutely, yeah. Like for our dairy section, it's been the same family that's done it. It was a father originally, and now it's a son. And they've done it for the whole 18 years, and they just know what cows bring. They're like, we have three that we can pick from that we know will sit there and let the kids pet them. And so we just pick one of the three, and that's it. And so, you know, yeah, you have to have animals that are used to being around kids, don't mind lots of kids, you know, touching them and getting excited around them. So, yeah, you have to have people that know and understand.
And if you want a milk demonstration, don't spook them, because they don't want to give milk.
No, no.
those cows can be persnickety sometimes.
Yes,
with that. But,
yes,
but
they can.
Some of them just learn to trust people, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just their nature, mm-hmm. but they just seem to, you know, let everything roll off.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you have to find the cow with that perfect personality, and when you do, she's easy. You know, you can bring her every year, and you know she'll behave. So, yeah.
Okay, I understand you're also going into the new tech of farming, because
yep.
I mean, farmers, you think of them, you know, with the bib overalls and the hat, and they're out in the field plowing. But like we were talking earlier, they mm-hmm. embrace new technology when it comes along.
Yep. We actually have a gentleman coming in from Sandusky who part of his job is that he's a licensed drone operator. And so he's going to talk with the kids about how farmers use drones, how this technology helps them, and then there will actually be a drone demonstration. So he's going to hopefully be able to fly it and show the kids. Yeah, weather permitting and everything else permitting.
He may have to do it inside the arena building. But
yeah.
He'll at least probably get it off the ground.
Yep, so that should be really neat. That's probably one of our more high-tech demonstrations that we're going to be doing, although we have a couple of other neat things going on too. So we have some high-tech sugar beet equipment coming in that kids will be able to see, and they'll actually explain, when you see this out in the field, this is what it does, and this is what we're doing with it. So,
what are usually the children's favorites? I mean, I would think animals, but that's just me. But I mean,
yeah.
are there certain things that they just like to flock around and they keep talking about?
Yeah, our dairy station, we have two dairy stations, a dairy nutrition, so they talk about what the cows eat. That's always one of the favorites. But one of the absolute favorites is the actual dairy, the other end of the dairy, where they get to pet the animals, and then they get to see a milker, an actual milking unit work, and we turn it on, and if they want to stick their finger in to see what it feels like when a cow gets milked, they can do that. And that's probably one of our absolute top stations every single year, year in and year out, and so we never change it.
Well, you go with what works.
Yeah.
It keeps them coming back, and they do seem to come back, even though student mm-hmm. numbers have declined in the
yep.
classrooms. All the schools seem to be coming year after year
yep.
for this.
Yep, and we talk to teachers, and they always tell us how much they love the program and how great the day is. And, you know, sometimes it is hard to get them, you know, get the field trip all set up, you know, the second week of school. We totally understand that. But yet they see the value in coming, and they enjoy it, and it's a great experience for the kids.
The expression wrangling cats.
Yeah, yes. Yes. You know, there are days and there are groups where that is absolutely the right expression.
But they come, they have a great time. They're there for the morning and until mm-hmm. usually about 1-ish, so about the time
Correct.
They get back to school, they have enough time to decompress and talk about what they've mm-hmm. learned, and then they can go home and
yep.
tell their parents all over again what happened.
Yep, absolutely.
You're almost getting to the point at 18 years where you might start seeing, you know, the kids of the first group that came through or the first group that went through is already out there, you mm-hmm. know, farming and coming back to help. Do you find mm-hmm. that people who have gone through this experience find it so worthwhile that they want to come back?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of our volunteers, like I said, our one dairy station, a father started it, and now his son has taken over doing his job. And, yeah, we're seeing more and more, you know, kids coming back. You know, my mom started helping with it right at the beginning. You know, Charlene is our neighbor, and we're really good friends with Debbie when they started it. And now I've been a volunteer at it since high school, and I've presented at different times, and now I'm on the committee. And I just, you know, I always saw the value. My sister was the first class to go through 18 years ago. And
your older sister.
Yes, my older sister.
You have to point that out, sisters.
Yeah. No, actually, it's my younger sister.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my younger sister was
wow.
first group to go in. And but thank you. I really appreciate that nice compliment on my age. And my mom helped that. I guess she was a chaperone that first year. And that second year, she then became a volunteer. She's still volunteering today. She helps in the kitchen now. And now I'm on the planning committee. So you can see generation after generation finds it important to come back.
And people may not realize that, you know, this just doesn't come together in 3 weeks before the event. About the time you're done with this one, you're already thinking, you know, what really worked this year? What might mm-hmm. we want to do next year? Because you do want to keep it a little fresh. You just
yes.
don't want it to be repetitious and over mm-hmm. again. You want to bring the latest out and mm-hmm. then key off what the kids found to be the most exciting, the best for them.
Yep, absolutely. We actually talked that this year we are maybe thinking about meeting a couple weeks after it's done. And then we'll usually start in the winter, thinking of ideas, trying to think of people, getting sponsors together. So yeah, it's a ton of work. It really is. But it's worth it when you see the kids come out there and enjoying themselves. But we're always looking for new people, new ideas, new input. So, you know, truly anybody that's interested, call the Farm Bureau office and, you know, tell them that you're interested in it, because anybody that's excited about it and wants to help, we will welcome you.
And again, we were making sure a little bit before the show that we make sure we get everything in we want to talk mm-hmm. about. You were mentioning that you get a lot of this done through volunteer support, mm-hmm. through the volunteer FFA chapter members who come out to help wrangle the kids,
mm-hmm.
and also organizations and businesses help. It's an essential part of making this work.
Yep. This event truly is a community event. We have people from all over the community, whether it be, you know, from DJ's Porta Potties helping us by having bathrooms there.
With kids that many, you
yeah,
better.
You know, or it's something as simple as, you know, McDonald's Food and Family ordering product and holding it in the refrigerators just for until, you know, the day before when we can move product to the fair, or you know, the Farm Bureau office for letting us, you know, use their space and use Laura, their secretary, for, you know, months and months and months on end. You know, we have hundreds of businesses and volunteers that help us throughout the year. And it truly is a community event that it couldn't happen without the community support. So even though I mentioned two, there are many, many more that have helped us, you know, from agricultural businesses to non-ag businesses, insurance agents. Everybody helps, and we appreciate everything, because the reality is every year things cost more. The cost of things go up, and so we can always use more support. You know, even if you can't come and help as a volunteer, you know, sponsorship support is huge for us, and we appreciate every little penny.
And oftentimes these businesses give a little something for the kids in their goodie bag that mm-hmm. show them products that are made from materials grown or raised here in Huron County.
Yep, absolutely. We try to put products in the goodie bags. Not only do we do advertisements for any businesses that helped us out in the goodie bags for the parents to look at, but we also include products that are made from Michigan products. So, you know, whether it be we have glue sticks, because that is made as a byproduct, or, you know, corn. And soybeans actually go into some types of crayons. So we have crayons in there.
You might think of it with the bees, maybe with the wax or something, but it comes from other products that we grow here.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to think of really out-of-the-box stuff that you wouldn't normally think of, and we do give kids and parents samples of that kind of stuff, of Michigan-made products. You know, we try to put in different things, like, you know, some years Jiffy mixes or Jell-O packets, because, you know, those are made from Michigan products too. So,
and you find the big corporations are also on board with this type of getting the kids involved, because you can see the local people doing it here, but mm-hmm. when you find some of the bigger organizations are doing it as well, the big companies.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, locally grown products are becoming more and more important, and it's always been important to us as a farming community.
But we sometimes take what we have for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is to go to like a farmer's market or something, just see the diversity in the area,
mm-hmm.
then couple that with what people can do with the products aftermarket, and it just keeps piling on and on.
Yep, absolutely. Traditionally, we are thought of as a traditional crop area. You know, we do a lot of row crops, our corn, our beans, but our area is so much more diverse than that. You know, we're one of the few areas in the country that can, like, grow dry edible beans. So, you know, your navy beans, your black beans, you know, we're one of the few areas in the country that can do that. And we're, you know, one of the top for that. And people don't think of that. You know, I think we're dairy cows, we're soybeans, and we're corn. There's so much more.
The actual product, corn, mm-hmm. we have ethanol plants.
Yep.
A lot of people supply product too.
Mm-hmm.
The soybeans can become soy oil that you use in grilling and other things. I mean, it's not just beans in a bag.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. You know, agriculture is so into, you know, finding a new use for our products, because we know that they're good, and we know that there's so many more uses for them than what we have now. And, you know, it helps the demand that people want fewer and fewer petroleum-based products. So, you know, it gives us the opportunity as agriculture as a whole to look outside the box and see if there's a new way that we can use this product to meet a consumer demand.
And sometimes what's left over when they make a product, they find a use for that too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just keeps going down the chain.
Absolutely. You know, food waste is becoming a big thing. You hear them talk about that. Well, in agriculture, we have very little waste, because, you know, a lot of byproducts, you know, after you get done making a certain product, well, hey, we could feed that to cows. We could, you know, do this with it. We could compost it and, you know, make it into, you know, compost and
beautiful soil to grow the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always joke that us farmers were the original recyclers, you know, but I mean, truly, like, that has, nothing can go to waste on the farm. You know, we have to recycle everything because it makes sense to, you know, the less money we have to spend on buying fertilizer, you know, is better for our pocketbooks, but it's also better for the environment. And, you know, it makes sense. Logistically, we have this. There's a use for it. We need to use it.
Half the time, if you don't use it, you have to pay to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you paying for to get rid of something when you could use it for something else?
Absolutely. So, yeah, farming is always changing, and I think it's exciting, but I'm kind of biased. So, you know.
Well, we're hoping to get the kids inspired.
Yes.
Even if they aren't on a farm normally,
mm-hmm.
They see them all the time up here, and they can get a better idea of what goes on behind the barn door.
Yep.
And it's the Project Red Rural Education Day is what RED stands
Correct.
For. And it is being held this coming Tuesday, September 15th in Huron County. Your other counties in our listening area may have them on a different date,
mm-hmm.
but they'll be coming up. Check with your local Farm Bureau office there for that.
Yep.
And homeschoolers are welcome. Kind of let Farm Bureau know if you're coming, if you could, just mm-hmm. to make sure that they have enough food and goodie bags for everybody.
Yep.
And it'll be a great experience for the third graders. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate all the work you do on this because, again, I don't think people realize all the planning that goes into something that runs hopefully so smoothly in just a couple of hours on one day of the year.
Yep, absolutely. It's a lot of work, but like I said before, we love doing it. We love seeing the joy on the kids' faces, the excitement, and the questions that we get, because we know that we are making a difference in helping to educate people about where their food comes from and what, you know, they see as they're driving maybe from home to school.
Thanks again, and I hope you get a great turnout. You're looking for like 750 people, mm-hmm. so that's going to be a fine turnout if
yep.
the weather holds and everybody can get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me in to talk about it.
Our guest today on the program has been Ashley Kennedy. She is with the Huron County Project RED, part of the planning committee. Again, it is next Tuesday, September 15th. Third graders are going to be taken from school, from virtually all the schools in the area, to the Huron County Fairgrounds for the event. Homeschoolers also invited, and they'll have a great time. They'll learn where their food comes and probably have a whole lot to talk about at the dinner table that evening. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.